When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that simultaneously heals and energizes the body as it soothes the mind. Making fine tea is a blend of artistry and craftsmanship. The $200 billion tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts global influence, employing millions to enhance the well-being of all. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Kenya's annual tea bonus is bringing strife. Sri Lanka reinstates the minimum wage challenged in its high court. And Lipton CEO Natalie Rose resigns. Plus, a tea samovar at sunset. 50 years ago, three industrious Turkish brothers in Havza, near Turkey's tea-growing region along the Black Sea, fabricated a modern chromium steel version of the traditional samovar. These storied vessels, fired by wood or coal, brew tea while keeping large volumes of hot water on tap. The Sozin brothers were skilled copper, bronze, aluminum, and steel metalworkers. Their compact, easily disassembled design for Sozinler samovars, the Turkish word for tea urn, is now the nation's most popular brand. Listen to their story later in this podcast. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Telawakili, Bogawanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia Tea Estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
Angry tea workers in several Kenya Tea Development Agency factories led violent and, in one instance, deadly protests after annual tea bonuses were announced. Others joyfully celebrated, earning thousands of shillings for their labor. The Nation reported approximately 680,000 small-scale growers will qualify for the estimated 37.1 billion shilling final bonus. That's about 287 million USD for sales through June. The seven factories have yet to announce final totals. President William Ruto estimated KTDA earnings increased by 30 billion shillings and predicted farmers would earn a record average bonus of 70 shillings. The average, however, is far less. Tea exports set a record 1.4 billion, that's 181 billion shillings, in sales in 2023, a $950 million increase from an outstanding harvest totaling 523 million kilos. A further 16.4 billion shillings was sold locally for a grand total of 197 billion shillings, which is about 1.525 billion USD for the entire crop. However, the improvement in farmers' payments this year is mainly due to the devaluation of the shilling, as dollar prices remained flat and a large surplus accumulated. Last October, tea farmers received 44 billion in addition to 24 billion shillings in monthly payments, totaling 67.7 billion shillings, about 525 million USD. KTDA manages 71 factories, of which 17 operate as satellite units. The large export sales total raised expectations, but the annual bonus announced this week for each KTDA-owned factory is calculated as the average annual sales of the T less monthly payments to growers. The cost of operations and factory overhead is then subtracted, and the remaining sum is distributed based on how many kilos each grower contributed to the total. About 45 million kilos of tea from roughly 225 million kilos of green leaf remain unsold. In Beaumet County, a 28-year-old protester was killed and two others seriously injured when anti-riot police fired on looters who breached the Mogogo Sikh factory gate in Kirinyaga County, where hundreds of tea farmers took to the streets rejecting a 46 shilling per kilo bonus. Growers carried signs reading, "Reject the peanuts," and "Kwani ni ma'ai," which in Kiswahili translate, "Is this a payment for eggs?" At the Mickey Kimuro factory in Meru County, protesting workers angrily set fire to 12 acres of factory-owned fields after learning their annual tea bonus was only 35 shillings. The factory board chair, Stephen Kathiri, told Business Daily, quote, "Since last year, we have not sold Orthodox tea and are stuck with 786,000 kilograms worth about 353 million shillings at the warehouse. This negatively affected our cash flow, leading to lower pay," end quote. In contrast, workers at the Nigeri factory earned 62 shillings, those at Nduti 60.9, Imenti 60.3, and Gathuithi 57 shillings. Workers at the Githongo factory were happy with 56 shillings. At Githambo, they were angry despite a 42 shilling per kilo bonus. This is because the newly elected board estimated the bonus would be 60 shillings when running for election last month, only to disappoint. The bonuses at factories west of the Great Rift Valley were meager, with workers at eight factories earning less than 25 shillings. Niamanshi workers received 20 shillings, as did those at Mokama, Wamu, Mogogo, Kapset, and Rorok. The average bonus south of the rift was only 23 shillings. Quote, "The west of the rift has been affected more by the building up of stocks due to the minimum price, and its factories are the ones paying the lowest bonus," end quote, writes Alfred Nijaji, the former managing director of KTDA Managerial Services. Quote, "There are a few exceptions like Momo, which has a high-quality culture, so its pay is the best in the West and even beating some of the factories in the East," said Nijaji. Nyankoba's 22,000 growers will be paid a 40-shilling bonus per kilo of green leaf sold by the factory, an increase of 5 shillings from the 35 shillings they earned from last year's crop, but nowhere near the hundreds of shillings per kilo in final bonuses that were paid to growers in past years. Sri Lanka's Wages Board, a division of the Labor Department, has mandated a 35% increase in minimum daily base salary, reversing a suspension ordered by the country's top court. Plantation companies opposed an earlier increase from 1,000 to 1,700 rupees per day. Tea and rubber plantation workers will now receive 1,350 rupees daily for harvesting minimums established for their respective industries. The new mandate includes a daily allowance of 350 rupees for tea estate workers. To earn the minimum, workers must pluck between 18 and 20 kilos per day, depending on the estate and region. Tea workers may also earn an additional 50 rupees per kilo for exceeding the, quote, normal yield, end quote, per section. The yield per harvest round varies by section and field. shaded fields, fields within a rain shadow, and fields with limited access to water yield less tea than the norms established over time. The wage board's previous gazetted rate of 1,700 rupees did not account for these variations and did not encourage attendance. Planners argued that the higher minimum wage would lower the daily amount plucked. The Supreme Court agreed and suspended the implementation of the 70% rate increase, challenging the wages board to resolve the issue. In August, the wages board voted 14-3 to republish the Gazette to address the court's concerns. Workers were pleased that the allowance brought the total to 1,700 rupees from the 1,000 daily minimum mandated in 2021. The new rate was effective September 10th. The Daily News reported that MP Vidyavel Suresh, General Secretary of the Lanka Jathika Estate Workers Union, quote, expressed his gratitude to President Ramil Wickremesinghe for extending the fullest support in achieving a minimum wage of 1,700 rupees. The president said the increase was necessary due to raging inflation, which eroded workers' ability to buy food and fuel for kitchen stoves and heating. Lipton Teas and Infusion CEO Nathalie Roos resigned this week after 2 years leading the world's largest tea brand by value. In a release announcing her decision, the company cited, quote, personal reasons in agreement with the board, end quote. In a LinkedIn post, Roos said she had decided to turn a new page. She writes, it is with great emotion that I sincerely thank my leadership team and all the teams at Lipton Teas and Infusions worldwide for their unwavering commitment and trust. Together with the support of our shareholders, we embarked on an incredible journey to transform the tea industry with remarkable energy. Roos was named CEO in July 2022, shortly after Lipton was acquired by CVC Capital Partners. During her tenure, the company launched several brand extensions, culled SKUs, and discarded underperforming labels. The most significant strategic change was the sale of the company's tea holdings in Kenya, Rwanda, and Tanzania to Brown's Investments. Brown's holdings include a Sri Lanka-based plantation company that has expanded its local holdings from 49 tea gardens to become the largest black tea supplier in the world. Roos structured the deal as a partnership contingent on Brown's ability to improve quality and sustainability. Roos writes, quote, drawing inspiration from Gen Z as the compass for all our decisions allowed us to move faster and further. This new generation does not settle for vague promises. They expect immediate action driven by sincerity and the building of solid alliances, end quote. Thanks to this approach, we have created a legacy that will sustainably and positively impact the lives of 13 million people who depend on tea worldwide, she wrote. Lipton, founded in 1890 in the UK, is headquartered in Amsterdam. Its annual turnover is an estimated $1.9 billion from sales in more than 100 countries. The company's 36 tea brands include the well-known Yellow Label, Brook Bond Red Label, PG Tips, Red Rose, Tazo, Laoji, Pukka Herbs, and T2 brands. The company employs 17,000 worldwide. Peter Lobby's executive chair will serve as interim CEO until a permanent replacement is named. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, I'm Bogdan, a passionate tea drinker and the inventor of the ultimate tea machine, the Brewmaker One. Preparation is key to making fine tea. Sequential steepings deliver the best taste possible and unlock the true value of whole leaf teas and botanicals. Brew automates that process without using any pots or capsules. This simple-to-operate smartphone-controlled device stores steeping profiles to consistently make great tea at the push of a button. Brew also reduces time, waste, and energy. That's because I engineered the brew to remember control settings for temperature, brewing time, and quantity. Using my patented process lets you stack steeps simply and conveniently.
50 years ago, three industrious Turkish brothers in Hamza, near Turkey's tea-growing region along the Black Sea, fabricated a modern chromium steel version of the traditional samovar. These storied vessels, fired by wood or coal, brew tea while keeping large volumes of hot water on tap. The Sozin brothers were skilled copper, bronze, aluminum, and steel metalworkers. Their compact, easily disassembled design for Sozinler Semivers, the Turkish word for tea urn, is now the nation's most popular brand. Years ago, Susan, my wife, presented me with a 4-liter Sozinler samovar, ideally suited for enjoying the setting sun under the flagpole at our family cottage on the deep and clear 300-mile-long Lake of the Woods in western Ontario. Last week, as the summer days shortened and the sun began to fade, our grandchildren stuffed kindling and split pine branches to stuff into the samovar's gated furnace. We toasted marshmallows before I placed the reservoir over the fire. Next, I extend the chimney. The young boys stoke the furnace with hardwood hickory chips until red hot, and I scoop a fine Ceylon tea into a metal teapot that sits neatly in a flue amid a steady stream of steam from the boiling reservoir. Once the tea is brewed into a potent concentrate, we pour it into tin cups and add hot water, sugar, jam, honey, and cream. Unlike an English teapot, everyone can dilute the tea to their taste. Strong or light, creamy or clear, the tea tastes lovely as we sit back in our Adirondacks to bid farewell to the sun. Ornate Russian samovars, whose name is derived from samo, meaning self, and varit, meaning to boil, are better known. But samovars were invented in Central Asia. The utilitarian, easily disassembled version originated in Bukhara, Turkey. Caravans carried samovars to the Caucasus, where different styles evolved in Russia, Iran, East and Far East Asia, and Anatolia. Turkish samovars are seen at weddings, family picnics, public ceremonies, and outdoor social gatherings in sizes up to 50 liters, with flues supporting 4 large teapots. Co-founder Azmi Sozin, writing on the company website, describes a Sozinler seminars as, quote, especially good for picnics, evening chats, hosting guests specific to Turks, village houses, weddings, associations, and coffee houses. Samovar tea is very famous, and it is drunk in places, mansions, hunting parties, and special ceremonies, he writes. The first documented Russian samovars appeared in the mid-18th century. By 1778, the craftsmen in Tula, located about 200 kilometers south of Moscow, were famous for producing heavy urns of ornate sterling silver. Symbols of Russian hospitality and domesticity appear in portraits as family heirlooms. Samovars of copper and bronze with a capacity of 5 to 15 liters appear in paintings at the foot of the table, spread with cakes, sugar tongs, and jam, with young and old in conversation over tea. Persian samovars can be seen in chakhanas, tea houses in Tehran, Tabriz, and Isfahan. Quote, samovar is an indispensable pleasure of Islamic society during Ramadan and long winter nights, end quote, writes Azmi. Azem Adim and Azmi Sozin began making samovars in a small workshop in 1974 and have since expanded to a 6,000 square meter factory with a public showroom and warehouse. Quote, our company, which accepts quality as a way of life, has established its power, discipline, and self-sacrificing and reliably trained masters and employees, end quote, according to the website. Market expansion did not occur spontaneously, writes Azmi, but growth continues worldwide. Our mission is to popularize the samovar culture, inherit it from our ancestors, and to pass it on to future generations, he writes. Quote, tea is not just a drink of pleasure, but also a culture. Poems, folk songs, and odes were sung in samovar tea ceremonies, which gave people peace and preserved their place and memories. Our company, which set out with this understanding, is primarily aware that it is part of this culture and has increased its production every day to carry out the cultural and historical heritage to future generations over time. Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of tea biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.